Have you seen the Real Madrid lineup?
Colin Bridgerton's back.
With the undead.
And it's all about the Iron Throne.
You have to watch it.
What's it on?
Bridgerton? Netflix?
The match is on TNT Sports.
House of the Dragon? Only on Now.
Ugh, that's the one I don't have.
TV that flexes with what's trending? New EETV lets you add and remove subscriptions monthly. Search EETV today.
EETV requires EE broadband. 24-month contracts. Content may vary. Terms apply.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, August 12th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Few things that were popular in the 90s remain in demand today. Lenovo's ThinkPad is one of them. We'll tell you the secret to the laptop's dominance among businesses. And then, some artificial intelligence makers say they want safety regulations, just not the rules California is considering. We'll tell you about the bill making its way through California's state legislature, and why some startups and tech giants say it could chill innovation for the young technology. But first, the ThinkPad brand of personal computer hit the market in 1992. It was originally created by IBM and then acquired by Lenovo in 2005, along with IBM's PC division. Apart from that, it's gotten thinner and lighter, but little else has changed. And that's kind of the secret to its success. Here to tell us more about that is our CIO Journal reporter, Isabel Bousquet. So for folks who aren't familiar with Lenovo's ThinkPad, can you tell us a bit about it?
Lenovo's ThinkPad is the most popular, iconic, dominant figure in the enterprise laptop space. You know, it's just a go-to offering for a lot of businesses and a lot of tech departments who just find it super reliable, familiar. So it's just continued to dominate that market for a long time, despite not changing very much. Ace Hardware was a company I talked to for this story. They're using 4,000 ThinkPads. In particular, it might resonate with older companies who have been using the Lenovo ThinkPad since the 90s, but newer companies as well. The brand just has a lot of cachet. If you're in the IT space, it's just become a natural go-to.
What specifically did the IT executives that you spoke to say they like about the ThinkPad?
They talk about how you can drop it and spill your coffee on it, and it survives that. It's well known for going through what Lenovo calls these torture tests that include extreme temperatures and falls. So they like how reliable it is because it means they don't have to constantly pay to replace laptops. They like that it's familiar. The ports and camera placement isn't changing all the time, for example. And they also like the fact that because it's not super different generation to generation, there's a sense of device equity there. So an employee who has a laptop from a couple years ago doesn't feel left behind if their colleague has a newer, flashier device, and CIOs don't have to splash out to keep everyone up to date with the latest and greatest.
But Isabel, device makers typically try to innovate to keep up with competition. Why hasn't Lenovo taken that route?
It's a little counterintuitive that Lenovo is taking this strategy of we're not going to make drastic changes to the ThinkPad. But part of that has to do with the differences between the consumer market and the enterprise market. Enterprises are a lot more resistant to change than consumers are. Consumers sort of demand innovations, whereas the enterprise is almost a little averse to them at times.
But there have been some changes to the ThinkPad. What are they?
Yeah, the ThinkPad you're going to buy today is definitely not the exact same model that came to market in 1992. Lenovo has, you know, been making updates that won't disrupt the user. You know, one thing they did recently was add little raised marks to the keyboard that are helpful for the visually impaired. From a processing computing standpoint, the capabilities of what the laptops can do have evolved a lot. And this year, Lenovo brought to market its first AI PC. We're still sort of waiting to see what the uptake will be like on AI PCs, but it should be interesting to watch that play out.
That was our reporter, Isabel Bousquet. Coming up, some AI startups and tech giants are working to kill a bill moving through California's state legislature that could set standards for AI safety. We'll tell you about the fight after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
There's a bill moving through California's state legislature called SB 1047. It would require developers of large AI models to conduct safety tests to reduce the risks of, quote, catastrophic harm from their technology. AI developers also must ensure their products can be shut down by a human if they start behaving dangerously. The bill applies to AI models that meet a certain computing power threshold and cost more than $100 million to train. That's the estimated cost of training OpenAI's GPT-4. AI makers, both startups and tech giants, are rallying to kill the bill. Here to tell us more is our reporter Preeti Khurana. So we've heard from tech leaders who have said they want some kind of AI regulation. So Preetika, why do they oppose this bill?
People within the industry itself have called for some kind of government regulation, but they say it should be done at the federal level with a lot more specificity. Now, the problem they say with this bill is that it imposes vague standards in the name of safety. For instance, there's a clause that says that developers can't release any models, quote, if there is an unreasonable risk that those models can cause or enable a critical harm. Now, people in the industry says these are hypothetical scenarios. Current technology simply cannot guarantee against that. And what the bill will do is kill open source innovation that is the bedrock of tech and the startup ecosystem as we know it, where large companies release something and they make it open for startups to build on.
So the people developing those AI models say we don't want to be potentially liable if something is built on top of the models that we made.
That's correct.
What has the author of this bill, SB 1047, said about it?
California State Senator Scott Wiener, who is a Democratic policymaker, he says that the bill actually only codifies the safety standards that the industry has set on its own. So what the bill requires is companies do the kind of safety testing that OpenAI, Anthropic, and other large AI companies have already committed to doing. Now, this is a standard that they voluntarily set out themselves. He says that the bill is not overly prescriptive. It offers companies flexibility. He says, look, you know, we were really late to regulate things like social media and look where that got us. So he's saying, I'm trying to be proactive and trying to put in place a light touch bill that does hold developers to some sort of account.
Have you spoken to others in favor of this bill?
Yeah, two of the top researchers who developed much of the technology on which the current AI wave is based have spoken out in favor of this bill. So really, you have tech giants, Google, Microsoft, Anthropic, Meta, OpenAI, that have all either raised some concern or proposed amendments to the bill. And then on the other side, you do have some companies and startups and several prominent researchers who are saying, well, we do need some regulation and we think this is a good start.
Why has California become ground zero for this fight?
California, as you know, is sort of the birthplace. I mean, it's where OpenAI started. And really, a lot of the innovation in the space is taking place in California. You do have some of the world's biggest tech companies that are based here. You do have some of the most talented coders and engineers that are based here. And that could really inform the national regulation going forward, as well as what other states do.
Would this bill apply to companies that are not based in California then?
There's a lot of confusion on that front, but I spoke with Senator Wiener and he said, actually, the bill applies to any company doing business in California, regardless of where it's headquartered.
We've heard this about other regulations, but you just said it. As goes California, goes the rest of the nation. But this isn't the first effort to regulate AI. So what other steps have been taken?
Yeah, there have been sent several proposals on the national level. None of those have really taken formal shape yet. People are within the industry are also watching to see how the presidential race goes, which way both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are leaning towards regulating AI. Separately, states like Colorado and Utah have also passed bills, but they are much narrower in scope. So yeah, this California bill, it's certainly the one that's received a lot of pushback. The industry considers fighting this fight important because if this goes into place on their home turf, you know, other states will follow too.
So where do things stand with SB 1047?
It has already passed the California State Senate, and it has passed two assembly committees, and it's going to be introduced in the assembly soon, we hear, at some point this month. So we're just waiting for a vote in the assembly. And if that goes through, then the bill becomes law.
All right, that was our reporter Preetika Rana. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.